I'll be talking briefly about mission as witness, not evangelism. In her book, this book, brilliant book, really enjoying it. There's a lot in it, it's quite patchy, you have to take it a bit at a time and think about it. In her book, Living His Story, Hannah Steele writes, can you hear me okay? Okay. We need to reimagine evangelism as something more normal and everyday. It is something each and every one of us can do, however ordinary or inadequate we feel. We don't need any particular gifts or special qualifications. It is the good news of God's love that is extraordinary and not we ourselves. Our reading from John shows that the good news is all about Jesus, God's Son. He made all things, including us, and he loves all he has made, including us. People ignored God and made a mess of things, so Jesus came down to earth as a man to rescue us from our waywardness and invite us into God's family. Now darkness, despair, and death are replaced with light and life and hope for the future. What a message! A little challenge for you is to try to write the good news in less than 100 words. I've just done it in 70, so I'm sure you can do better than that. Perhaps we shouldn't use the word evangelize at all. It often has such negative connotations, and Phil's already pointed some of those out in his word cloud. Jenny suggested recently at Pagan Hill, perhaps we should actually ban it. If we look in the New Testament, the word evangelist is only used three times. Of Philip in Acts 21, advising Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and as one of the fivefold ministries of the church in Ephesians 4. The name usually given in the Bible to someone who shares the good news of Jesus is witness. The word witness is used 23 times in the book of Acts alone. It's used four times in our short reading from John. The word testimony and witness come from the same Greek root word, martus. And look, Bet, I used the Greek New Testament you gave me. To witness is to tell the truth of something that we have experienced. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 to 7, calls us simple messengers who carry the good news around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. Being a witness and not an evangelist is as freeing and simple as A, B, C. A, abide. Trust in and lean on God. We are not alone. We are working with him and alongside each other. B, be ourselves. We're not trying to put on a show or be other than who we are. We can be vulnerable and real. Our story is unique and valid. And see what we can do, excuse the pun. We only need to be willing to use the skills we have and work in the areas that interest us in creative, practical, and supportive ways. Ultimately, we are simply called to do more of what we are already doing, to trust in God whilst showing integrity and thoughtfulness to others, but intentionally. We are all witnesses as we carry this amazing news of Jesus around in the ordinary clay pots of our lives.
So I'm going to share a couple of examples. When you first become a Christian, you can often have many opportunities to talk about your newfound faith because people wonder what's going on and what's happened to you. And after 10, 20, 30, even 40 years, people don't tend to ask that. And you can start to think that perhaps you need to be creating opportunities to talk about your faith. But I have to say that the Holy Spirit will do this so much better than you can. He will set it up for you. to use a footballing metaphor, you're the striker. The Holy Spirit will ensure you have that open goal in front of you and the ball at your feet. And you know, what you do is boot it in. And just like that footballer, you can sometimes miss really badly. So I thought I'd share one total failure story and one that went rather better. I was in the co-op before Christmas one year, not this year, a few years back now. And I was humming a little Christmas carol to myself as I made my selection from the meat counter. And the lady next to me said, "However can you sing when you're looking at those prices?" So I said, "Oh, well, you know, it's Christmas." And she said, "Christmas doesn't mean anything once your children have left home." Boom, perfect opportunity. Did I connect with it? No. I said something like, "Oh, that's sad," and moved on. I was in the right place physically, but I wasn't in the right place spiritually. Fortunately, God does not give up on us. And on many other occasions, I've been there with the open goal. And the one I've chosen to share, it just shows, you know, the Holy Spirit does it so brilliantly. I was on a train in Poland. I was going to a conference, and as a family, we try to avoid flying. So because I was on a train, and I'm me, I was knitting. And the lady opposite me said what was clearly the Polish for, "Oh, what are you making?" My Polish does not extend very far, but I guess that was what she said, and managed to say sweater and brother, and to indicate that I was English and didn't speak Polish very well. Whereupon, shoom, I had the attention of the whole compartment. Because what I hadn't quite realised is that most older Polish people have never met an English person, ever. You know, they grew up behind the Iron Curtain, and yes, English people come to Poland now, but they go to Krakow and Warsaw and they fly. They don't sit about on trains knitting. So they're all riveted, and they're trying to ask me nice, easy questions. And luckily, there's a young man in the compartment who does speak English and says he will interpret anything. Anything anybody wants to ask me, anything I want to say. Perfect. So this lady asks me my name, and when I say my name is Elizabeth, she says, "Oh, are you Catholic?" So I say, "Well, I'm a Christian, I'm a Protestant." And then my interpreter has to help me to understand that she's saying, "I've always wanted to know the difference." Boom. Open goal. Interpreter on hand. Whole compartment listening. So I'm talking about how there's much more emphasis in the Protestant church on a personal relationship with Jesus, and how you don't need intermediaries, and you can confess your sins to God, and you can pray directly to God, and you're encouraged to read the Bible for yourself. And after a while, I've, you know, satisfied her curiosity, and she moves on to other things. But my interpreter is on fire. He's like, "That's amazing. I never heard of anything like that. If I was going to be a Christian, this is the kind of Christian I would want to be." And that's what I mean. And you could not set that up, could you? He didn't even know he wanted to know the answer to the question. He would never have asked it. He would certainly not have asked a Polish person. Because he's there interpreting, he's got to really think about it. He's got to really think about how to express it. And he's completely hooked. So I just wanted to put that out there to encourage you that even if you are a middle-aged lady who's into knitting, God can use that to share the gospel. And he will set it up for you, and he will give you the words. And if necessary, he'll even give you the interpreter.
I'm just gonna share a little bit about how this testimony encourages me, because it's not all about God just using one person. It's about how God can use multiple people in the community he's placed us in to reach the people that he wants us to reach for him. And so this is about a lady called Lolette. Most of you know we our mission is on the dump site in the Philippines. And then this lady, we met her probably 13 years ago when we first came to the Philippines, and she would sit outside of her house. And she always had such sad eyes. For those of you who have been out with us, you know that before you get to our center, there's a very small lane that's just like an open canal of sewers. She used to live just at the end of that in this tiny house, and she would just have a chair, a plastic chair outside of her house, and she would just sit on it all the time, and her face was so sad. So I met her about 13 years ago. Her name is Lolette. And every time we would walk past, we would just say hi and how are you? And her answer to me would always be the same. In Filipino, she would say buhay pa, which means still alive. She would always just answer, she's still alive. She'd been raised on the dump site and lived there all her life. And it was just this deep, deep sadness. And for many years, we would reach out to her. Every time we would pass, sometimes we would just sit with her and drink and eat a snack with her and tell her that we believe that Jesus had a plan for her and a purpose for her. Her life was full of violence. Her sons were both in gangs, very deeply involved in really hardcore gangs. And she just had a sad life. And Ron shared the gospel with her, and I shared how I believe Jesus had that plan for her, even though it's like she was living to die. That's what it felt like. She just was living to die. She was maybe in her 70s. And then Pastor Elmo, one of our co-workers, every time he would go past, he would just sit and pray with her. She would accept prayer. She would never really speak or say anything. She would just always this deep sadness. And then during the lockdown, once we came out, well, kids here are still in a strict lockdown for the last year, but adults are quite free. And so once adults came out of the stricter lockdown in Tondo, our co-worker Ati Nora began reaching out to her and just loving her, just showing her the love of Jesus, saying that there was hope in Christ and that there was life in Christ. And she began, after 13 years of us reaching out, she began just going along to the women's community Bible study. There's only a few women allowed to gather. There's just four or five of them sitting outside in the community. And she met the Lord. She met the Lord Jesus, and she was recently baptized. But it encouraged me because it reminded me of how, you know, when she always felt like hard down, she always felt like dragged down, like whatever we would speak into her, it was just sadness and depression and just the hardness. But it reminded me how Jesus saves in his own time. You know, I would have loved to have seen that woman come to know the Lord 13 years ago or 10 years ago, but it was Jesus' time. Jesus saved her in his time, and just recently in the last 6 months. And it also encouraged me because, you know, I would reach out to her. She was part of our community. I would reach out to her. Ron would reach out to her. Elmo would reach out to her. Atinora reached out to her. And just like how God uses people around us in our community to pursue in love those who he is after. He's after their hearts. And it also encouraged me that, you know, she just seemed like a shut door. And there may be people in our communities that just seem like hard down, but we just really don't know. We just really don't know what's going on inside of them. And so we just wanted to share that just wherever God has put us, wherever God has put you in your community, don't get discouraged. You know, when somebody seems like hard down and dry ground and just like they're just living to die, even maybe like that mama that we know, that God can move, the Holy Spirit can move, and he can use us in his time, and he'll do the work. And I was just reminded of that verse in 1 Corinthians 10:6, and it said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it was God that gave the growth. And we can plant the seeds, and we can reach out, and we can share, and we can love, but ultimately it's the Holy Spirit. It's God who changes, and it's God who brings the growth.